Hello?
Is that Nyla?
Hello.
Yeah.
All right. We got Nyla too. Richard, are we good? All right.
Ready to go? All right. Yay.
Learning technology over here.
Right. I'm going to call the March 1st, 2023 meeting of the Newport Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee to order at 5:36 p.m. Could I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Good evening. Steinberg.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
Cheryl Brown.
Here.
Charles Brown.
Here.
Schrantz.
Here.
Gonzalez Munoz. Gahilly. Absent. Norris. Absent. Jebisek.
Here.
Moore.
Here.
Chandler.
Here.
And Jacoby.
Here.
All right. You're good to go?
Great. And we have two guests here. Who are going to, they can introduce themselves when we talk about the IPM plan. Well, we have a quorum, which we did not have last time, so yay. So we have a couple of sets of minutes to look at and approve, I hope. Those are from December and January. They are in your packet. Cheryl had some changes that she informally, not in a meeting, mentioned to Mike, I believe.
And they're in there.
They've been made.
Yep.
I had one other, Mike, sorry, and that is that I think it's in the January minutes where we assigned, or people sort of stepped up to volunteer to lead various of our goals. And Nyla was not actually at that meeting, and so I stuck her in kind of with a question mark, but I don't want it to reflect in the minutes that she committed to doing that yet, because I hadn't actually asked her.
Actually, I did via email, but not during a meeting.
Okay. Just want to make sure that we're kosher on all of that.
That's noted.
Okay. Any other comments, changes to any of either set of minutes? All right. I will accept a motion then.
Need to accept one on both
yes,
of them?
Yes, we can do both of them
time.
At once. Yeah, I think so.
I'll move we accept them both.
Jeff moves that we accept both the January minutes with my amendment, but otherwise as is.
I second.
We have a second from Cheryl. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Great. Okay.
Who seconded that? Was it
Cheryl? Cheryl.
Right. My packet is falling apart. Papers everywhere. All right. Well, so this is the same agenda that we had intended to cover last time, but we're going to get to it all tonight. And we're going to start just by looking quickly at the final now set of goals that we've set for ourselves as a committee. And I said we were going to review the leadership assignments, but it looks like we're pretty much all set. Who's here? Yay! So that set of goals and committee leads, et cetera, starts on page 11 of your packet. And so now with Nyla committing to be the lead on goal number 9, we've got at least one person who has stepped up for all of those goals. And so moving forward, what we'll do is look ahead on our calendar and see when each of those goals is due to be reported out on at some point, or there's some action that's required. And my hope is that whoever has signed up to lead that goal will just take it away, and that will be excellent. Todd, we have you with a question mark because you were also away. Welcome back, by the way. Can't wait to see you in person. But put you on there. I don't know if you have your packet open, but goal number 5
yep.
is, yeah, you got it. Ensure the committee is prepared in its role as
I
the city's
that,
tree
yep.
board. And evaluate other potential yes. tree board models. So can I take the question mark off of that?
Yes, that's fine. Yep.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Todd. And we can sort of talk offline about what that actually means. But just a quick preview is that Mike and I had been talking, and then I sort of presented to the committee a couple of months ago the fact that I am beginning to think that having the tree board be synonymous with this body is not the most efficient way to get business done. And we're thinking of looking at the city ordinance that specifies that we are the tree board and seeing if we can make a change to that and have a more efficient process in place that won't derail this committee when and if we do get a...
I think that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. We can talk about that more. Yes, Cynthia?
So what would the goal of that be exactly? Would you have like a separate committee, a separate meeting time, more time to discuss the tree issues than what you do now?
Well, so that would be my goal. The tree board itself is established solely to hear cases from citizens who want to appeal a decision made about cutting down a tree. So it's not like that's all of the tree discussion that we're going to have. That's certainly not the case. And in fact, we've instead implemented a whole new goal that's more focused on urban forestry. That's the one that Nyla will, I hope, lead up. Well, she says she will lead up, so that's great. So the tree board is just in place to be this body that hears these appeals. And the problem with having it synonymous with this group is that I feel like once a year we should get training on that just so that we're all ready and know what we're supposed to do. We have new people that have come. They don't even, you know what that means. So that takes up a portion of our very precious and limited committee time. And then if we do get an application that we need to review, and that's happened only twice since the tree board has existed, that takes up almost an entire meeting in and of itself. And so that, you know, it's not efficient. So I think that a better way to do it would be to have a smaller, more nimble tree board, and I'm happy to serve on it. I'm not trying to get out of work here. And have it be 2, 3, 4 people, maybe. Bring poor Anita Albrecht into it, who gets volunteered by me for all kinds of things. And that smaller group could meet once a year to get training, and then meet ad hoc if an appeal comes. Mm-hmm. That to me would be the ideal way to do this, rather than have it synonymous with this group, which it has been since its inception. So anyway, that's my idea. But it's in municipal code that we are the tree board, so we have to make a change if we're gonna go that route. So that's what that's about.
Did Mike have a chance to talk to the city council and the city managers about that? I saw a note that he was maybe gonna bring that up.
Yeah, I did. I chatted with Spencer about that, and he was very open to that idea because he understood, you know, it was kind of clogging up the wheels of process in the committee itself, and he liked the idea. I vetted it with city attorney. It kind of goes back to the old model of a quote-unquote subcommittee where they just, you know, where we kind of, how we operated under our old municipal code before we updated it a couple years ago, and you know, that process is obviously used to be there. We can definitely bring it back in this format. And I think it also helps from a committee standpoint to be a little more objective and openly objective when making the decision versus having the individual here waiting for that decision to be made. And there could be, this gives them that perspective of not feeling pressured from a public standpoint and the committee making a decision. It kind of gives some time for everybody to really think about the decision that needs to be made. So Spencer supported it. City attorney said it was fine if we decided to change the ordinance. Obviously, ordinance change will go in front of city council, and that's when city council gets to question me about the changes and the reasons for it, and then their input is really where we're going to go based on what the policymakers want to do.
So well, what's the next step then?
So next step is we're going to have to rewrite the code again for the committee and bring back a subcommittee language, and then we'll get it in front of council and then go from there.
Does it need to be a subcommittee? Can't it just be a totally separate entity?
No, we're not going to have, you mean have its own committee?
Yeah.
Well, if we do that, then we're going to have to do a lot of code change too, even from the tree, our tree codes and all that. So it's not just the committee code, and that might get a little more messier. It'd be easier if we just make it a subcommittee. And it'd still be a public meeting and it'd still be open. And then that subcommittee can report back. So report back, you know, and, make recommendations to this committee to make the final call or recommendation to city council.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's all right. Yeah. I mean, that whatever's easiest, I guess, I think that should work.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Very good. So we don't really need to do much more on this agenda item. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that we have our final goals, we have committee assignments, and I think that's going to be a really good method for moving forward and getting all those goals to move forward. Now we get to more exciting and fun stuff. So we're going to start with the integrated pest management plan. Probably Scott and Anita, you should come up so that you can speak into the microphones, so that those that are calling in can hear.
I have to push.
Yeah, you'll push or turn it on.
Push or turn it on, right? Yeah. Let me pull up my PM here. So, pulling up my draft right now. Integrated pest management, for those of you who did not read the entire draft of the plan, is an approach to dealing with both animal and plant type pests, weeds and animal pests in and on city property. Prior to the development of this draft plan that we're going to discuss today, we had an ordinance in place that said we will never, ever, ever use herbicides or pesticides. And while, of course, we all recognize the damage that herbicides and pesticides can do in the environment and to human health, it's not practical, we think, with the staff that the city's got, to not be able to resort ever to those kinds of chemicals. Integrated pest management, though, puts them at the bottom of a long list of approaches that are to be taken, and the list of specifies best practices for using them, for reviewing how to use them, and so forth. So we have this plan put together that's in your packet. And I thought I might give you guys the opportunity, Anita and Scott are here, to give you the opportunity to is there like a little mini presentation you want to make? Do you want to start that way? And then we can, or Mike, do you want to?
Well, what I told them earlier before we started was for them to jump in with any input, obviously. The presentation, because it's a 50-page document almost, it's going to give you just surface level,
right,
you know, of what, hoping that everybody read it or a good portion of the document for questions. To clarify on something you did mention, that what we're operating under now is not actually an ordinance.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just a department policy.
It's a policy
that was put in place. That was it wasn't approved by council, but it was council listened to the public, and then we came up with this department policy. And so the plan itself goes from a department oversight, like you said, it's for the entire city, because there's other departments that utilize pest management. And so one big piece that was changed in this with the mission statement, so the next page after the table of contents, our original mission statement, I think maybe was the first two paragraphs, might have been three. We decided to expand on that just to go in a deeper dive, because people that are going to, as they start reading this document, the public, city council, and other individuals, that stakeholders, we really wanted to give this a full depth, because, you know, as people flip through pages, they're going to read less and less probably. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted to make a full understanding explanation of what we're trying to accomplish here. So, you know, the last paragraph, I think, is the meteor of those of what we're trying to accomplish and what the purpose of an IPM plan is. I also want to reference that a presentation Anita and I sat in on, just to kind of give a perspective of, like, you know, there might be people that are, you know, there are people that are very anti-chemicals, everything. I get it. And it's, you know, for good reason. There's health issues. But in the presentation that we were in, it was with the Bee City program. And was it Xerxes? This individual on the national level, I think he was actually with England. He's from England originally. In his presentation, this is one of the big things that I took away from it, was even with them, and bees are, you know, obviously associated with herbicides and the killing of bees, even from their standpoint, there are times they use herbicides. And so that was a huge eye-opening experience. I thought it was like, okay, you know, everybody associated with bees and wanting to bring back bees is not going to use herbicide. But he even said, he's like, there's times we work closely with farmers that need and utilize bees, and we get in to their fields and we realize how infested they are, that the only way to fix it is to use herbicides and wipe the slate clean. And so, but that's their last measure. That's their last method of approach to it. And so that kind of gave me perspective of how IPM works. So for the plan itself, for this plan, it covers all of the city. So it's going to cover public works, the airport, parks and rec. Those are the three main ones that are using a lot of pesticide use. But again, it's also for facility maintenance, dealing with, you know, rodents, maybe black mold, different things like that. This plan itself, it's a better way of defining the expectation that we want to be held at by the public, by, you know, public, other public entities. So it's a more logical approach of just saying, yes, you can do everything, or no, you can't do anything. It's a more methodical and logical approach to eliminating some sort of pesticide threat. Municipalities, by law, municipalities, government agencies, you know, cities or counties are not required by law to be licensed applicators. The only laws in the state of Oregon are for schools. And so everything that's in this plan is based from the expectation that schools are held to by the state of Oregon. And so that's what we used as our litmus test. That's what the state of Oregon is saying we need to do to protect our kids of our state. We want to do the same thing, mm-hmm. and we're going to follow the same protocols or more to protect our citizens of Newport and our users. And then another big thing that this plan does is it ties our city safety manual and the OSHA requirements that we have from that side, it ties to this plan. So we're making connections with city documents with this bigger plan, also with state requirements. So that's the big thing that I want to take from the mission statement. On the very next page, there's that beautiful triangle for IPM basics. So I'm going off of the package page numbers, which are in the corners. So that would be page 18 and page 19. These are just strategies explaining on how you would, the approach to utilizing and trying to eliminate, you know, the threat that I would say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we want to educate our staff, we want to educate the community, want to educate the public on these are ways we can eliminate, you know, and this is the approach that we're going to use to eliminate a threat within our system. You know, educating staff, you know, don't leave food out and, you know, for a rodent to come along. You know, for us, it's educating our staff also, you know, mower decks, you know, can be spread. You can spread, you know, weed seeds to our fields, our athletic fields, if we're not spraying down our mower decks after we mow a green space. That's an education piece. Also, having them go through training and certifications, that's another piece. Then you have the cultural and sanitation practices, you know, different cultural methods. Those are the ways in mechanical practices. Those are the things that those first steps we're going to take and move through biological methods, removals, you know, using physical or mechanical. Scott references using soap and for bees or hornets?
Bee control.
Bee control, and you were going to use, instead of using an actual pesticide, you would use
soapy water.
Soapy water, you know. There's methods, other ways, and he, when going through this, you know, that was what Scott always referenced, was like, I would never use a pesticide, probably ever. Mm. So, you know, that's a good explanation for those as they start reading to understand the methodology of what this plan is trying to accomplish. On page 8, for criteria for choosing a pest control method, we are using the Oregon State University low impact pesticide list is as our approved list with no exceptions that we get to make. We've just lined it out that if that's what the state deems, and OSU is the leader of that for the state for low impact pesticides, that's what we're going to follow. We also use that as a reference. We wanted to do that because it does keep things a little simpler on our side. We don't have to go through and review lists all the time of what's approved and not approved. We are utilizing what our state and what those professionals do, and they will update this list on a regular basis. We just use that as a reference. flipping over to page 42 of the document, it's procedure number 12 for notification of pesticide use at a site. One piece that we liked from the old policy was a notification email list. And we want to get that in for the public to enroll in so we can, as we are going to use pesticides in a certain area, we can then send an email out to the public saying, on this day, we plan on doing this, this, and this. These areas will be closed. And there's some appendices with what a draft email might look like with what that notification is. And so that list will take time, but, you know, Anita and Scott have talked recently with someone from Yahats that's involved with the Yahats pollinator, and they, when ODOT sprays, they get notified, they spread the word to their email chain. Well, we want to get that person and those emails on our list so we can continue that communication and spread it around. So that's another piece. We also added in procedures directly tied to dog parks. We added in procedures directly tied to community gardens, basically making them almost or completely no-spray locations. We also have playgrounds as a no-spray location. That was mentioned after offline from Nancy.
Yeah.
And so we, between last week or last month and this month, we added in procedure number 17 regarding playgrounds and made that as a no-spray area.
Yep.
We also, in the appendices, we added in one appendancy to strictly identify we have no pesticide zones, and that is our playgrounds, potentially future exercise stations, maybe along trails. Wanted to get that in now instead of rewriting this. Mm-hmm. Community gardens, and then, of course, with this is a no-brainer, our stormwater catch basins and inlets, and so putting thresholds there, saying what are boundaries from spraying. So that's a quick general overview. Again, I could spend hours, and I know Anita and Scott could spend hours. We could all just bore you or create a lot of discussion. And so that's the presentation to keep it within 20 minutes. sorry, I don't have a nice slideshow or anything for you guys.
No, that's fine.
This is where for you
that's
guys
fine.
To start.
My question is
peppering us.
What do we want to get out of this? Do you want a vote of endorsement of the plan? Do you want people to just ask questions and give feedback? What would you and you guys like to get out of this discussion?
Well, I'll let these guys talk first.
Okay.
Answer that. I have my own answer.
It would be, for me, it would be nice to have an endorsement from you guys.
Okay, so hopefully we'll...
Ultimately, this will go
get
in front
a
of the
motion
city council.
On the table to vote on. Okay.
And that's what I was going to say. I didn't know if you guys wanted anything else, but if I'm going in front of council in 2 weeks, or well, maybe next week, and with this presentation, and to have a recommendation from you guys to council to approve this plan, if the committee feels so,
okay.
That would be a nice recommendation to bring forward to council.
Okay.
After you guys have. Mm-hmm. Had discussion.
Great. And Mike points out something that I forgot to mention at the beginning of the meeting, which is I will once again remind everyone that we have gone to a system of putting actual expected amounts of time on agenda items. And that's going to keep us all honest, I hope. And just wanted to note that. So I've been frantically scribbling down times, and I think that we have till 6:15 on this discussion.
I tried to talk fast.
But no, you talked fast. Right. If we're short of that, that's fine. But so, Anita, Scott, do you want to add anything to that before
the low-impact pesticide list that Oregon State manages is also the approved list for school usage. So all the schools in the state will tap into that list unless they create their own. But most of them that I know don't do that. They just go to this list because somebody else manages it for them.
Okay.
This feels in line with the Lincoln County School District training on integrated pest management that I take every year and all employees of the district do.
Oh, okay.
So that feels like exactly the same.
Okay.
Does it?
Yeah.
If that helps.
That's good to know.
How do you guys do that training? Just wondering. Is that all like...
It used to be called through a program called Safe Schools. It's called Vector Training now. It's online.
Okay.
And there is a section.
We use Vector. It's our, for our safe personnel. I might have to, well, I'll connect with you later because there could be a piece that gets thrown into our regular trainings for all city staff. So that'd be a good educational tool.
And I had an ant situation at one of the schools I worked at, and there were no, you know, chemicals used at all. And it took a little bit, but it was great and it worked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So no more ants.
I guess I'd just like to comment that I think that having this policy is as records, and not only that, going above and beyond in terms of having have their pest control license. They've gone through quite a long class and education program, so they.
I think for those reasons and more, this is actually a really marked improvement over the last, over the existing policy. It provides for more accountability. It provides for a decision tree. I think it's an improvement myself. I had one question, and that is, who is certified in the city to do the chemical applications? How many people?
Two.
I thought.
Two right now, and we're training two more or three more. Eventually we'll have three more.
Okay.
At least in parks.
I was going to say that's in parks.
Parks, okay.
There was, I believe, one individual on the public works side, and that was with our wastewater collections. I don't believe they are certified anymore. And then the airport, and then out around our reservoir, they have used contractors. And that's also a piece. We have procedures for city staff, and then we also have procedures for non-city staff. So that keeps our contractors accountable, which is also going to keep our supervisors who are contracting them accountable.
Right.
So there's going to be there. That'll be an educational piece on our end to get them to understand there's two levels here. And then I think something that Anita said with the accountability, something that Nancy or somebody on this committee has talked in the past when we've talked about the plan, is there's trust, obviously, with the three of us, but what happens when we all leave and it's 20 years down the road or whatever and we're not here? Will this plan hold those people accountable? And that's the mindset that we all took when we met and built this and revised it and made edits to it, is how are we going to keep future people accountable for the safety of the public and for our facilities and assets? And so that's the mindset that we took for creating this. And one thing I forgot to mention is under procedure 14, for pesticides approved for use on the city, we actually define, there's on page 29, page number in the corner, bottom right corner, we also added in a pesticide review committee that will meet annually or more if we need to. And it's an internal committee with city staff, and we built that out of myself, Parks and Rec Director, Park Maintenance Supervisor, Public Works Director, Public Works Superintendent,
Facilities,
Airport Director, and the Safety Committee or Safety Coordinator for the city. And so we will all get together, those positions will get together, and that's an accountability piece for each department, keeping each other in check. And then they'll review guidelines, go over plans, trainings for employees, discuss any IPM issues that have occurred, review through past records of the applications that have been done to verify and check and make sure they were done correctly, share any highlights, and then also review Fed and state requirements and regulations so we can update the plan or update how we're doing our procedures. So,
and part of that is going backwards to see what we did do.
I was going to ask that. Yeah.
What worked? What didn't work?
What worked? Right.
And then communicate that throughout the city for the rest of the folks that are doing the same type of work.
Great.
Do we have a chance for questions?
Absolutely. Do you have one, Nyla?
Great. I do.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if what comes to mind in terms of situations that you are aware of right now where you would use herbicides or pesticides.
Like, is there any existing situation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
Well, there's going to be some use of herbicides. Now, pesticide is a big category. You've got disease.
Well, can we back up a minute? Can we back up a minute? Tell me about the herbicides, please.
What do you want to know about an herbicide? There's pre-emergent.
You said that you're going to use it. You're planning on using it. So just some more about that.
About where we're going to do it or what we're going to use?
Sure. Sure. Well, not so much what you're going to use, but uses that you see you need.
Right now, I need like curb lines, some beds, limited beds that have been developed, because not everywhere we have developed flower or bark beds. And then they've been neglected for a long time, so we'd like to bring mm-hmm. them back up to a nice appearance. It doesn't have to be weed-free, but not a solid piece of turf either. Around trees, so that our weed eaters don't have to go up next to a tree and knock the bark off and kill the tree. Those are probably the biggest areas that I see right now around signs. Weed eating takes us a long time to do.
Also fence lines, potentially. Fence lines are hard to, obviously mowers can't get to them. They eat up string on spin trimmers. You know, that's a potential location. Scott and I and Anita were talking scotch broom. Something that we have done, or a way of applying it and being very low risk, and how Scott would do it wouldn't be cutting the scotch broom and then sitting there with a backpack sprayer. He would just have it in a little paintbrush. We'd cut and mow all the scotch broom, and he'd just come along and on that fresh cut with a paintbrush and just apply the herbicide. That's a herbicide use. It's very low impact. It's a very, very, very safe application process to it. So it's that kind of mindset. And again, the only time we would use it is when something is to the point where it's completely out of control and we won't be able to keep up with it. I know a battle Anita's always had, and God bless her soul, she every year she goes for it, is the rec center. Right outside our rec center, we have so much horsetail that comes up every year. Yeah. And there's no way you can ever eradicate that much horsetail without potentially a use of some sort of pre-emergent with some herbicide use. I mean, so there's, you know,
how about blackberries?
There are other ways to get rid of blackberries besides using herbicide on them. Mowing is a fairly effective tool.
Goats.
Okay.
That's the process we would follow.
I don't know if I want to be a goat herder, but I think there's, again, the cut and treat is pretty effective, but cutting is an amazing tool just to remove blackberries.
Mm-hmm.
You rob it of its food source and it can't survive, so it's not so effective.
And how about pesticides?
Pesticides is a larger category. It makes up insect mm-hmm. controls, disease controls, mm-hmm. rodenticides, and herbicides are in that same category. So when everybody says a pesticide, it's a huge category.
Right.
And I don't know all the chemicals that are within that, because some of the stuff...
No, I mean, where uses you foresee that you are looking to have?
For like an insect for control or disease
control?
Yeah,
well, whatever you have. Whatever you have,
I don't envision a lot of uses, like bees.
Okay.
This last year that I've been here, we didn't have any bee calls.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bee, yellow jackets, wasps. There's some pretty nasty chemicals out there for those because it takes those mm-hmm. to kill them, but there's other methods. I've used soapy water, flooding them out.
Okay.
Burning them out, depending on what time of the year it is. That is also mm-hmm. an effective tool. So that you don't have to just go to a pesticide or insect control in that instance.
So you don't have anything specific that you're really looking at right now?
No.
For that?
No. And that would be on a...
Thank you.
An emergency type of a basis, and we're probably at that point we're going to be calling Oregon State to get advice on how to control stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Nyla. Other questions or comments?
And I will say, just from internally, like they've already said, you know, landscape beds are big hot spots right now. Curb lines are big and really hot spots. The way our wind blows and the way our curbs, they grow weeds tremendously, really well. And then, you know, ball fields, you know, our sports fields that we kind of want to hold them to a higher standard than like an open green space. You know, open green space, we really probably wouldn't do much, you know. But, you know, we have to be, our approach to the ball fields have to be in a safe manner, obviously. And if we can get them under control, then we won't need to. But there's a potential, you know, just to get back to some sort of even playing field. But we have to do it in a safe manner and the right manner and at the right time when we know we won't be putting the community at risk and staff and users. So,
I mean, keeping weeds out of turf is, it's not just a spray. It's fertilize and make sure that grass is healthy, overseed it so any bare spots, you got competition so the weeds can't move in. You keep the health turf healthy, you're going to have a lot fewer weeds. You
know? Aerating.
Yeah.
Right.
And those are all those mechanical, you know, different approaches besides just spraying.
Yep. I just found myself when I was reading the plan thinking, oh, what about this? What are they going to say about this? And my question got answered every time. So I don't have any problems with the plan as written. I wonder, so you talk about decision trees, you know, like there's an event or a situation that you have to address, right? And then there's going to be this decision tree to figure out how to deal with it. I wonder if some of those situations pop up again and again, like maybe in the same place, you always have this situation that happens once a year or something, whether that can be streamlined a little bit, whether you have to start at the beginning of that whole decision tree or whether, you know, if you save that information, can maybe streamline it for next time.
That's happening through time.
Yeah.
So if we know we consistently have an issue in a certain spot.
Do you have to start at square one? No.
No, it's already a known quantity.
Yeah.
And history will show us what we did the last time. Did it work? Did it not work?
Right.
And if it didn't work, we're going to try something different. And that means, it doesn't just mean a pesticide. It could mean mechanical or whatever we decided to control something. So that's going to guide us even moving forward. So the history is going to be there.
I think the review committee that we have in place that's going to help with sharing, like, hey, this worked for us. You guys over at Public Works should try this too. And then they're able to disseminate that down to staff and execute it properly.
Right.
So that's where that'll be a benefit of that.
Others have questions or comments? If not, I would entertain a motion.
This is Cheryl. I motion to support and endorse for the Parks and Rec Committee to endorse the Integrate Pest Management Program as written. I don't know if there's a date.
Yes, that's perfect. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
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 Yeah, a second from Charles and Nyla. A second and a third.
I like it.
Great. Let's take a vote then. All in favor of the motion, which is to approve the Integrated Pest Management Plan as written, say aye.
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 Opposed? I don't think so. Everyone voted. Abstentions. Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hooray.
Thank
you. Onward.
It's going to warm up pretty soon outside.
Yeah, that's right. You may need some of this stuff at some point soon, right?
The last couple weeks of sun have already starting to show the weeds are weeds are here.
Look at you guys. I'm so proud. It's 6:15 on the dot. Wow. Nicely done.
Really?
Nicely done.
Nice.
Okay. Moving on, we are going to hear from Jeff about an update on the Vision 2040 committee. And there's been some like stuff in the newspaper about Vision 2040 lately, so I'm looking forward to hearing about it. Jeff, you want to let us know what's going on there?
Yeah, we'll just get right into it. And I think the first thing, if you want to follow along, I didn't print it out, but similar to our committee, there is a progress report for 2022 that you can look on your phone. I can give you the address if you want to look and watch along.
Is it linked on the city's website? Is that where
it is? Okay. Yeah, you can link to the city. Just if you Google it, just go to City of Newport, Vision 2040, but find the .Granicius site because that's where it's located.
Okay.
So I'm just going to get right into it. Yeah, there's been probably did see in the paper that there's a question on whether we're losing funding from the Ford Foundation, which fell up in the air, possibility of happening. So I don't have a whole lot of detail other than what you might have read in the paper. So we'll just, what I think I'm gonna do, we'll just kind of go over the background real quick, and then there's seven different areas that it's really focused on for Vision 2040. So we'll go over each one of those, kind of go over what was accomplished for 2022 and what we're hoping to be accomplished in the next year. Relating back to our group, we really fit into one of the categories, the seven categories, so I'm going to spend more time with it than anything else. I'm going to kind of skim over everything else unless you have questions.
Perfect.
So all started back in 2017 is when Vision 2040 began. If you remember, lots of surveys were done trying to determine how we want the city to look in the future. And out of all that, it was determined, like I was saying, we've got seven different focus areas that there's different committees looking into. So enhancing our livable region is one, preserving and enjoying our environment, which is where our group falls into. We've got creating new businesses and jobs in the Newport area. And it's not just the Newport area, it's the outlying areas. So Newport, Toledo, Depot Bay, it's more than just the city of Newport. Going on, there's the other focus areas, learning and exploring and creating new horizons. The next one's improving community health and safety, and then fostering collaboration and engagement in the community. So let me go over the successes for 2022 for the committee. The first one has to do, number one on the list, I should say, has to do with continuing work implementing the previous Juntos de Colaboración developed projects centered around the regional Latino and indigenous communities. So there was some work done on that. Really, it's just outreach to the different groups in the community to make them aware of the Vision 2040 so they can be more involved with it. So that's one of the top ones that were felt like was accomplished. Next, the next big accomplishment for 2022 was the availability of affordable childcare, which is a big concern around here, of course. Although it went on to say that the 0-2 age year bracket still remains an extreme challenge to fill. There's more childcare available, but still not enough. But we feel like there's been progress made in that area. Number three of the big ones is funding the Big Creek Dam. That's a huge project for the city. Very concerned about earthquake, sustainability of that. If we lose the dam, of course we lose water. If you think about it, water is used by all the big job producers around here, the seafood plants, hotels, everybody. We all need clean water. So it's one of the top things on the list that needs to be addressed. And there's a lot of work going on that, which it needs to be done. Along with that, the next one is water supply management and conservation. Just want to talk about conserving our resources, of course. So there's discussions with, again, fish plants and hotels, retailers and more that use a lot of water, on how we can improve that. The next thing on the list is homelessness. Of course, that's still a big concern here. The city prioritized $400,000 in the budget to try to help figure out what to do with that. So we feel like we're making a little bit of progress there. Next is housing supply, which is a big concern here. But for Vision 2040, that's something we want to continue to keep an eye on. So those are the main things that were accomplished or worked on heavily during the last year. Going forward into 2023, any questions on any of that? So going into next year, needs and gaps were kind of identified that we need to look at. Number one is housing again. We still need to put more work into that. Number two on the big list is the dam. It's staying on the list. We just more needs done there. Number three, childcare. We're rehashing 2022 over, but they still need big work. Those are the three big ones that are being concentrated on this year. But there was some successful highlights. If we look at each of the seven focus areas. The first one I'm going to start with is our preserving and enjoying our environment, which is where our Parks and Rec kind of falls into. And the things that were accomplished in that focus area is there was a new plastics ordinance passed by the city. So that primarily had to do with styrofoam containers. Maybe you see you don't get styrofoam containers anymore when you do takeout. So that's, you're not supposed to, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, an abandoned shopping cart ordinance was passed. So hopefully we don't see abandoned shopping carts
as much around town.
That's right. Then Surf Rider organization stepped up to do a storm drain marking project, which is kind of ongoing, marking different storm drains, saying that drains doesn't drain to a treatment plant, but it drains to streams or the ocean in some places, or creeks around here. And then water supply management was another one. But what's been identified for this year? So those were kind of what was accomplished in 2022. Going forward in 2023, one that really kind of plays into us is a South Beach multi-use trail connection between the airport and 40th Street. So, don't have any more updates, but that's on the agenda for this coming year.
That's not on our list.
It may be under another name. I'm going to look at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is that one, Mike? Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
It may be the abandoned rail line.
That's what I was wondering, if that's what it was. Right.
The rails to trails?
Yes. Right.
That might be it.
I believe so.
On the north side?
Looks like it should be on our radar. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'll take a look at where it fits or if it's mentioned in the Parks Master Plan. Well, I'll tell you something, if that doesn't get accomplished this year, we do have an awesome new grant from the Department of Transportation to work on the entrance to, I think you all know this, but the entrance to Ukwena Head, and then tying, there is a trail that's going to go from there basically to where the the road that goes to Nye Beach
Ocean
comes
View.
Out. So you don't
the
yeah.
turn into Ocean
right.
View.
So you don't have to ride your bike or walk on the highway anymore if you're going from basically
oh.
from Agate Beach to Yukwinahead.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
That's big
so
news.
That there's been a plan
cool.
and in place for a long time to do that, but not money. And now there is money to do it. So
right.
plus the pedestrian. Isn't there funding for the between Yukwinahead High School the sidewalks and you know, I thought I saw something on that.
I believe
that was like the safe routes to school.
I yeah, think that's yeah. the sidewalk on the east side of 101, and I think it's from Safeway down to 32nd.
Well, there was another one that had to do with
the schools.
Schools and the crossing
oh,
of
yeah.
the Highway 20, Yukwinahead.
Yeah, it's in the budget, and it should be
oh,
started this
that.
Year, the crossing yes. Highway 20 and
yeah, they're going to
Eads
yeah.
or Benton.
Yeah.
Eads.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is actually going to happen.
Yeah, on the north side of 20 there. Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us. I just
sorry.
To
okay.
Yeah, and the city's working on other sidewalk infill too, particularly along 101 from in town around Walmart area out to north to the movie theater area.
Yeah, that's good.
That is coming along.
That's good.
So does anyone have
I think I missed my chance to ask a question.
No, you didn't miss your chance.
When it was offered before. Okay. What's the $400,000 for homelessness? What does that mean?
Where do you see that, Nyla?
It was mentioned.
Yeah.
So that was part of
okay.
the 2022 success and the housing supply. Let's see. There was a bunch of initiatives were under consideration or active. Projects included, but not limited to, a Hope Rises Village, which was a partnership with First Presbyterian Church and Habitat
mm-hmm.
To build and rent to housing insecure families small homes on the church property.
Okay.
And then there's a thing called the Coastal Phoenix Rising, which is a county-wide collaboration on transitional housing. City prioritized $400,000 in the budget to, processes to provide long-term homelessness solutions. City partnered with these nonprofits for services for the winter of 21-22 and is doing the same again for this winter,
22-23. Okay.
And that's
just to do my regular pitch, which is that 40% of homeless people are veterans, and the number one reason for homelessness among women and children is domestic violence. So
yep.
Thank you for answering my question. I appreciate it.
My biggest concern with Vision 2040 is what I was reading in the paper about people sort of starting to balk at moving it forward. And, you know, there's no coordinator right now. I know that.
Right.
Leslie's stepped away.
Yes.
And I don't obviously have the newspaper in front of me, the piece, but I remember somebody saying in the piece, I don't know if it was the journalist himself or the somebody who was quoted talking about how ambitious it is, I don't think that's a reason not to have it. So
yeah.
I'm concerned about that.
I think there was a little bit of burnout, I believe. They were meeting weekly, and
that's a lot.
That's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's down to once a month, but having trouble making quorum, just like everybody.
Right, right.
It's a big committee, too, right?
It's a big committee.
It's like, what, 20 people
yeah.
or something?
Yeah. So it'll continue.
Okay.
In one form or another. It'll
I
definitely
so.
Continue.
Yeah. There's a lot of work that went into it.
There's a lot of work, and there's still a lot of interest in it.
Okay.
Absolutely. Cause
good.
We want to make it a better place to live, don't we?
We all do.
All do.
We all do.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service on that committee. I appreciate that. Nice to have a voice and a pair of eyes there and a pair of hands. Any other questions for Jeff about Vision 2040? Great. Well, I'm glad it's continuing. I was worried after that newspaper article. Like, don't let it go away. We still have a vision.
There's a recreational, a trail,
a priority for 20.
I know. I'm going to check into that and see how it works with the Parks Master Plan. Okay, now we have a super exciting thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Since the last time we met, we've made some good progress on ADA beach access at the Nye Beach turnaround. Some of you might have gone and seen this, but we had a visit, thanks to Charlie. Yay, Charlie. We had a visit from the folks that have David's chair, who are looking to place some chairs along the coast. And so he brought a couple of demo chairs. Had a variety of people come and test them out. I tested it, Mike did, Charlie did. They are amazing, and it's a really cool program. And then there was a meeting where he made a presentation to members of council and members of this committee and a few others. And I couldn't stay for the whole thing, so I feel like there was a cliffhanger there, and I never actually got to hear how it all came out. So I'm going to let Charlie and Mike take it away on this discussion and explain what happened and what's happening.
You want to go first?
Sure. First, I got to say, I got to ride in the chair, and it was amazing. Just feeling the freedom that somebody must have when they hit that sand was remarkable.
It was.
And it was neat to see people come up and look, and I think I saw two people come up and get in and use it, and it was just, you could see what it's going to do, and it's going to be a big thing now. So that was neat. It was neat to hear the whole process, I guess, the presentation he gave with how they came to be and how we're going to come to be with that, you know, chair. And I think I was really, really excited when Mike was asking about the placement of the chair, you know, having that housing be at Nye Beach instead of having to go to the fire department or whatever. And there was no, and that like thrilled me beyond belief. So that was awesome, and to know, you know, they're behind us 100% with helping to fundraise and do all that. You know, I'm so excited to get that going. I got some good feelings from a couple people I know I'm going to go for when it's time to do this fundraising. So I'm looking forward to it.
I got the impression that the funding was going to be less of an issue than some of the logistics about like how we're going to check it in and out and who's going to, you know, be available to do that and that kind of thing. So I want to hear all about that part too.
Yeah. So, you know, to follow behind Charlie, I just writing it, I had the same kind of feeling of like, I've seen the testimonials in a video. I've now got to test it. And then seeing even people that actually needed to use it, that demoed it, that was really neat too. Cause it's like, I kind of felt that feeling and I bet you they really feel that.
Right,
bad.
Right.
It's just like knowing that this is a step that we've never taken before. It's really exciting. I will say it was neat to see people demo. The coolest demo I saw when I was down there was a gentleman that came over from Bend, and he was like, whoa, crazy timing. I have one of these in Bend. I never bring it to the coast, and I end up just sitting here on the benches with my wife. Aww. And Kirk from Davis Chair was like, take it, go for a walk. And he and his wife just puttered off, and they went. I have a picture of them way over by Jump Off Joe's.
Wow.
And they came back 40 minutes later, and he's got a stick, like, well, not, it was like a branch in his hand, just driving this machine back up the ramp. And I'm like, that's what we're going to be able to do. That's really neat, so cool. You know?
It was very capable on that ramp. There was no issue.
Yeah.
On the ramp. It was very capable on the beach, you know, like going over.
And I pushed it. Like, I know when everybody went out and they just went on the hard sand. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. And I was like, no, I'm going to push it to a little bit to its limits. And I'm like, I'm going to go up a steep slope onto soft sand. And then as I'm going up the slope, I'm like, maybe I should have a helmet on. I don't know. But it handled it with great ease and off kilter to the left, to the right. And, I mean, it was phenomenal. So it's neat to know that is what we're going to be able to offer. The presentation went well. It's nice to know, like Charlie said, David's chair is just 110% about getting a chair and a trailer here. They're 100% behind. We could do a trail and trailer, a chair and trailer, or we can do a chair in a permanent storage container down at Nye Beach. There's so many different options. It's really on us of how do we want to make the first step with the first chair, because I can even see potentially us having two chairs, you know, and maybe there's one permanently at Night Beach and one that's in a trailer, because these chairs can go up into the woods on like one of them. The most expensive chair that they brought was one that actually can stand the individual upright too. But that one was in camo because it just came, it's used in the woods for elk hunting. And it was a little muddy and dirty from some guys that went hunting with it, and they never cleaned it off. So, you know, there's opportunities to expand this in different directions too, not just for Night Beach and beach access.
You know, and here's a couple of things that I didn't realize when before I saw the guy give the presentation and went down and tested it out. First of all, they do all the maintenance on the chairs. They do all of the, they can, I suppose if we wanted to do it, we could do it, but they have a method already online for people to sign up and use it. We don't have to create a system. They take care of all of that centrally. I never got around to like finding out what the actual, I mean, we're not buying this chair. It still belongs to them, right? So it's not, the chair would be like what, $15,000-$20,000? I forget what the guy
if we said, go but. If we go a low end chair, it's around $15,000 to $20,000, and then if we go with the high end, which is a wider base, stands them up, has more control, not just from the armrest. You can actually have an individual, say if somebody's quadriplegic, can't even control the chair, there's an additional controller that you can walk beside and still control the chair with that individual as you go down the beach. Instead of it being I'm behind you controlling it or pushing
next
it
to the person.
It's you're like walking with them, the person and talking.
Could you consider maybe partnering with the Discover Newport or Destination Newport, whatever that committee's called, since this would probably be used by tourists too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think there's, we're going
to
be
all this money they need to spend on tourism.
Right.
A thought.
So what's the bottom line dollar-wise? Like what do we need to raise?
I think it's around, depending on what chair we get, we're looking with the trailer insurance and some maintenance. I think it's around 50K.
A year or once?
No, for the one-time purchase of the chair, and then going forward, there's a maintenance cost with some insurance coverage, and that's around $3,000 to $4,000.
Per year?
On an annual basis. Okay. And that's very minimal in regards to operation costs for this chair. And again, it's not like we're looking for a contractor to do maintenance. They will be the ones that come and maintenance the chair.
Right.
We just really have to provide them. Like I said, it's actually Kirk's wife that does the maintenance and him. And he's like, you give us a hotel? He's like, and you give her a bunch of Pepsi? He's like, we're good. And so,
that could be arranged, right?
You know, and so the way our community's set up, I know we'll have support, you know, through in-kind donation, but I know we'll have support, you know, we'll be able to raise those funds. And if we can't raise those funds, we can have it in an through a budget for $3,000 to $4,000. That's not bad. Yeah. Still want to try to shoot for raising those funds, which I think we easily can. You know, Charlie's had some discussions with Rogue about, you know, those dine-in nights and raising funds that way. I'm sure I already have a long list, and Kirk provided me of groups that he's seen success with in, as being stakeholders in these other towns, like the Elks, Eagles have been big.
Yep.
Potentially, we can get the hospital foundation involved. Chamber, I've already had direct conversation. Chamber came to the
Chamber
presentation.
Was there. Yep.
They were definitely involved and on board.
Rotary.
Destination Newport. Was discussed when I talked with Chamber, and I've talked with Spencer, and there's potential and funds there that we can capitalize on. Who'd you say?
Rotary.
Yep, Rotary potentially. I mean, there's a lot of groups that we could potentially lean into and use, you know, to help with the fundraising. Mm-hmm. Our next step, after the in-house or the inside presentation was done, our next step, based on what David's chair wants to do, based on Spencer's input, my input, we want to do a big excursion next. So this was their small excursion, bringing two chairs, and we kept it very low profile to see if this is even what we want to move forward with. Mm-hmm. So next, this is June 17th, 18th. That's a weekend. I should be getting this. We just finalized these dates recently with David's chair.
big excursion. They're going to bring like 7 or 8 chairs.
Wow.
This time they're going to,
whoa,
they're going to publicize it. I mean, it's going to be a full-on weekend of fun. They're going to publicize it through all their avenues that they have. And so that means there's going to be a lot of people influx coming probably for this. Mm-hmm. We'll advertise in that through our avenues locally and get it spreading the word.
National Oceans Day.
It's an International Surfing Day, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that'll be where people get to demo these chairs all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And then the plan is to have some fundraiser event in the evening of Saturday, more than likely a dinner with some maybe a silent auction to be added in as an additional fundraiser piece. We're making money off of plates and food. We're making money off potential checks just being written. Plus, we'll make money off of hopefully silent auction. And so the next step, part of this committee, is finding stakeholders that want to be involved, getting a committee together to build this actual night of fun, and then, you know, continuing to work with David's chair on the back end. The good stuff that they've already told us, they told me this during their little mini excursion, and then I talked with them today. They said they were going to front us the chair no matter what. If we were on board after this big excursion, they were going to take a chair and trailer that they already had in inventory and immediately get it to us. Once we get an MOU in place, get it to us so we have it, and we'll continue. Even if we don't
have a storage spot for it yet. Like, do you want to put
I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
I don't have one identified yet, but I'm not worried about that. We, and that's the cool thing about this. We get to set the parameters of how the use is. We could say it can only be used between 8 in the morning and 7 at night, and we base it off of park staff that's still available to pick a trailer up and store it. We could do it maybe a bigger window through the fire department. I got to engage with our fire chief on that to see if we can get support from that department. Potential with the ambulance facility right there. There's always somebody there right by Nye Beach. I think, didn't you bring that up in the, that's what I thought. That was your, a great, great thing. So I got to engage with them. There's potential there.
Is the hospital or the hospital foundation, is that an organization that might be a funding option?
That is one on my list.
Okay.
Because by chance, we had an occupational therapist come by, and she wanted to check out this chair.
Yeah.
And then she's like, have you reached out to the foundation?
Yeah.
I think they would
I
be in on this.
I thought there was a foundation.
Yep. And so there's that. But so that's what they told me weeks ago, that they were going to, if we were on board 100%, get them, they're going to give us the chair in a trailer. And then we keep working on fundraising, and we'll make that, and we'll backfill. Well, then they said that they just received a really, really big grant. They told me that today. And they're going to be getting more chairs and more trailers. And they said, for sure, we are going to give you one. It could be more. And we'll front load that, and then we'll work on the funding on the backside. He said it's more reassurance that we'll get a chair and trailer, storage facility of some sort, faster than we think we can get one. And then they're in the process of redoing their MOUs that they have with some other agencies. They're going to, in the next probably week to 2 weeks, they're going to get that MOU to me. That would be tailored for us somewhat, or a starting point, and we'll start working on that. And the reason why we want that is, one, for our Friends Foundation. So I've already engaged with them. They want to start writing grants for some funding potential for this chair. So I need that for details for the grant writing. But I also want to get this started with the city attorney and getting this stuff in finalized so we can sign and go after this excursion. Plus, it helps our city attorney because we're all spread really thin and doing a lot of work. So,
fantastic.
Is there room for decals? You know, you can make this like that. Put an Aussie sticker on there.
I thought about that. There could be potential where we somehow get, you know, sponsorships maybe from the Nye Beach neighbor businesses down there that are going to be directly impacted and potentially get more business, and be like, hey, sponsor this. We can put some emblem either on the container or wherever, you know, on the chair, so you can know and get more advertisement. And so there's a lot of opportunities.
Cool. Okay.
So I've thought about that also from a marketing standpoint.
Is the Parks and Rec committee going to be responsible for coming up with like the safe use regulations and things for it, like how to keep people safe at certain tides and certain like weather conditions, and like where to use it on the beach and that kind of thing? Or how will that be established?
Yeah, so Todd, I think we'll definitely have to have a policy of use in place for this before we really just say, hey, public, use this. And then I don't know if the committee will be involved with probably vetting that and input and approving. And then it'll be on staff, obviously, from, you know, just managing that, you know, keeping in check with what the king tides are looking like, and we shut the program down for those days. Different high tide warnings, you know, information that we'll need to share and pass along. And the nice thing about the reservation system and the way that'll be done, it will be way easier to do it through David's chair because of the insurance requirements that go to utilizing and renting these chairs. They've lost one chair and trailer before because of the hauling it over here to the coast, which is why they want to have a footprint on the coast. They want to eliminate that much travel with such an expensive right. piece of equipment. But so there's insurance requirements, so they're going to handle all that, and then they would relay these reservations like weeks in advance, potentially, you know, minimum probably 1 week in advance, and that will give us time to evaluate and communicate with the individual users, like, yes, you can do it, no, you know, hey, sorry, this is going to be a really bad day, whatever reason.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Very exciting.
You know, I watched the CBS this morning clip. It was a segment on these chairs, and I'm wondering if you guys can use that clip in your promotional materials if you want to have an illustration, a little video that shows what it's like, because the description of the experience you had when they brought the chair and people used it was exactly what they illustrated in the promo.
Video is powerful for sure. Yeah, it's a good
yeah
point. Yeah,
it's gonna be nice.
It's gonna be great. It's also, by the way, free to users. Users don't pay a fee to
yep.
do this.
100%. The only thing that they might have to pay would be on the insurance side. You know, if their vehicle insurance doesn't cover it,
right.
they might.
If they're trailering it.
Yeah, if they're trailing it, if they need to take it, and they're going to, that'll be all, again, vetted through David's chair. There might be a cost there. But even David's chair, Kirk said that even if an individual can't meet that insurance requirement, they have insurance groups that they work with to hopefully get that. And if the person still can't do it, David's chair will still, no matter what, figure out a way to get that person a free use of that chair, which removes a lot of barriers also, yeah. which is nice.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This is a much better solution for us than the beach
yes.
wheelchairs that we
yeah.
were thinking about before.
100%.
This is really, I mean, it just eliminates a lot of the barriers that we had when we were talking about one of the big wheelchairs and the Moby mats. So.
And I will say it's a council goal. That's one thing. ADA accessibility for our beach access. So we're going to be able to not only achieve a department goal, committee goal, we're achieving a council goal, which is awesome.
Yes. A parks master plan goal.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge check. And then, like you said, those beach wheelchairs are limiting. The Moby mats are limiting. You know, if you're in a Moby mat and the minute you step off, you're in soft sand again, you can only go to the end of that mat, and that's
right.
it.
Yeah. It's way better.
Yeah. It really creates a more intimate experience, I think. It gets people out there. Again, I watched that YouTube link that I sent to you, if you haven't, to see people say, yeah, I've been paralyzed for 20 years, and I never thought I would ever be on the beach again and feel the spray of the water on my, you know, face.
Yeah.
And came to tears today. You know, that's just powerful. It's just,
yeah, that's yeah. powerful stuff.
It's something we all don't think twice about.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Is it limited to only adult use, or can children, like, what are the ages? How does that work?
They do have a youth one also. They didn't bring it. That red one potentially could be used by
sitting down. I would say that if it was just sitting down, yes, but it might be, you must be this high to ride.
Yeah.
If it's
mm-hmm.
the stand-up.
Like Disneyland.
And we actually had, I believe, the ARC of Lincoln County helped push it to some of their users, and they deal with disabilities. They backfilled Shangri-La's vacuum of leaving town, and still small, still growing. But they had a couple people come out that were youth that had issues, and they jumped right in that red chair, and
it was awesome.
And like 12-year-old, I think, who
yeah, cool.
was
yeah,
able
yeah.
to wheel it around. Didn't go on the beach, but he wheeled it around in the parking lot and tried it out, and just
joystick control.
That's,
is really
that's
deep.
One of the things that I was wondering if accessible for youth, whether boosters would support it. I mean, it's not a sport, but it's giving really a
outside activity to youths that might not be able to participate in sports.
It's not, I,
okay.
Shelley's just filing out of it.
I'm here as a community member.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Boosters.
I will say they get hit for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say, so one, yeah. We just hit boosters for the UV project.
Their mission and vision is pretty specific.
And they were in on that.
But there are a lot of individuals that, like Amy Thompson is on the hospital foundation board, and there are a lot of individuals that donate time to other organizations, but they do get, and they,
I think Boosters 2 is more sports oriented, and they try to, try their best to stay in the sports realm with school teams.
Yeah, they have a mission.
That's hard. Totally I know it's hard, and they do have.
That, I mean, it's a good list that we've already already come up with. And
again, my list is this long, and I think I told you about that much of the list. I just can't remember all the different.
They will definitely
organizations.
Care about it.
Stand by, everybody, and we will continue to update you on this project. I'm really.
But June will be here quick, so we'll have to get moving on this.
Yes.
And so I'll probably ping a few of you. You know, I know Charlie will obviously want to be involved with the committee, but if there's anybody else, you know, let me know, send me an email individually. And so I'd love to be involved with the planning processes of the big excursion. So
awesome.
Stay tuned.
Great. Cool. Wonderful. Okay. We ran a little over on that one.
Oh,
not as
yes.
perfect, guys, but we'll just take it out of Mike's director's report, which is next on the agenda. Take it away, Mike.
So sports, that was more of a I realized that I didn't put in my January report. This was December's report. When I carried over the last agenda from February, I didn't think of updating my minutes part, so I apologize. So I will have January's in the next one, January and February in the next meeting. And if I can, I'll try to get March in there also. So Zach did more of a year-end recap. He had a really good, successful part of the year. It's not his full year in, but cross-country went well, especially with a lot of turnover there, with Zach being turnover and new coaches turnover. But that's a program that's going to be back up and running, running smooth. Youth volleyball, that's been a great opportunity between the season that he had plus the academy, and he's created that partnership with the high school coach, Coach Smallwood. So that's been a great little program. And he's just looking forward. Him and I spent half a day together last week working on some stuff, and him and I just had a lot of discussion, and he's just a lot of more ideas looking forward, and he's really excited about finishing his first year in the box so he can really start branching out and expanding and making changes and more growth. So that's been great. In the month of December on our park side, we had some vandalism and some failures in at the gazebo and at Don Ann and Davis Park for the trail. So crews were working on that. A big thing that's that they also worked on was pressure washing a lot of our city facility entrances. There was a policy that was recently passed at city council level and with the city manager with blocking off pieces of our doorway for safety access in and out. We've had some issues with people camping out and fire issues, so we're going to be putting some heat templates down saying this much space needs to stay clear of entryways. And then on the backside, over at Coast Park, a lot of work's been done on that hillside where used to be all these big blackberries, the hillside that big slide comes off of, putting in a fence railing there, trying to corral more kids to go up either the actual hard pack pathway or use one path going up there, up the hillside through the sand to the slide. That way we can actually do some development with vegetation and growth instead of blackberry growth. So, and it's actually working out really well. If you drive by there once a month and try to plan and look, you can see there's one path up the hill and everything else where the fence, it's actually keeping the kids off of that area. So there's going to be some stuff that Anita's been over there working on that's actually going to survive. So
what's Coast Park? What's Coast Park?
That's the name of the park, Coast Park. And that's the park that's located next to the pack. Where the big playground is with the pirate ship on the hill.
Okay.
Yep, that's Coast Park.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Over at the 60-plus center, Sonia and Bryn McCormick, who's part of her friends and probably one of the top-notch volunteers that we have in our system. They worked together, and Bryn was able to obtain a donation from Meta Platforms Technology, where they received 25, basically, tablets, but on a way simpler, easier form to use than what a normal Microsoft or Apple tablet would be. And this is kind of the springboard re-jump off the program where they were trying to get tablets out to 60-plus users that can't leave their homes. The problem that we ran into is the Apple tablets that we purchased are just too confusing, even with the instructions. This tablet is, you just turn it on, and there's your login to get into the Zoom program that you are trying to enter into, that it might be Walk with Ease that we're offering here in our building. Well, this is going to be that easier platform to use, cool, or device to use to get them on the platform so they can actually be involved either in person or at home. And so it's a big next step to really get that program back up and running. So we're excited about that. Staff over there participated in and became Learn Certified Program Planners, which is that training that I discussed some time back. So excited there. Over at Keeley with the pool, Keeley worked with our friends of Newport Parks and Rec to submit a grant to Spirit Mountain for the UV project. So we are waiting back on hearing from that. And then another piece that just continues to happen, she's been doing really well in the month of December with her programming and rentals and facilitating swim meets. Since then, staffing is back to a very bad situation over there, and we've now are reducing our hours, and that happened starting a little bit in December, and then it just kept going downhill from there. So still working on some maintenance issues with the pool, just trying to stay on top of leaks and whatnot. So she's doing a great job over there with a lot less than what normally would happen over there. And the rec center numbers are just continuing to grow with numbers of usage. Recently presented in front of council, almost all of our numbers from a calendar year perspective, 21 to 22, numbers are doubling or more in regards to entries and memberships and passes. But we're doing it with a lot less, and that's in regards to staffing. And so that's challenging. They also engaged with the 21st Century Program Coordinator out of the school district, trying to see if the two after-school programs could somehow collaborate and work together. There are some roadblocks, some funding requirements that are probably looking like the two programs can't work too closely together, but there's definitely still discussion for that to happen. And so both sides are still communicating and seeing how we can work together to just, you know, benefit to the kids. So that's been a nice little piece. And then, you know, more on their side, more staff went through the Learn training from the rec side. And then I also have to point out that Parks and Rec and the library partnered together in a food drive and for humans and for pets. And we went against the police and fire, and police and fire played very dirty, and we took the gloves off the last week, and we were able to power through and beat all of our public safety departments. And it was a cool, great little event. You know, it was an expansion. Last year was Parks and Rec versus Library, and we used the whole, you know, the show Parks and Rec Library theme of how they hate each other. Well, this year we partnered, we expanded the program, we raised more food, and we want to expand potentially further out. Maybe we'll get City Hall, different departments involved. Maybe we'll challenge. Laura and I have visions of challenging the city of Newport versus Lincoln County, you know, and really make this into a cool winter fundraiser. So that's it.
Fantastic. Nicely done.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Nyla.
You mentioned that attendance or use is up. Is that something that usually happens in January when it's not a pandemic scenario?
Oh, yeah. Every winter, everything explodes in our facility. Everybody goes from outside to inside, and it's very telling when you have sunny weeks in the month of February and it's dead in our building because everybody's back outside. So that's a normal thing. But across the board, each month, our numbers are growing, which when we total it up on a calendar year basis, it's gotten to the point where things are doubled or tripled in some sense, or some of the numbers.
Even more than pre-pandemic?
No, not pre-pandemic.
Okay.
Okay. Because again, we don't.
Still coming back.
We're still not open 7 days a week. We still aren't fully open in the morning or closing later in the evening. But when you start comparing numbers coming out of pandemic each, you know, from 2020 to 2021, or no, sorry, 21 to 2022, those numbers doubled or tripled, depending on, which means more revenue, but it also means a lot more pressure on staff and resources, which is hard.
Thank you.
Awesome. Any other questions or comments for Mike about anything? All good. Fantastic. So, public comment. We have no members of the public present. Committee comments. Does anybody have anything else they would like to bring up or talk about, mention?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
This is Nyla. Yes, I do. Okay. I've been thinking about the ivy removal scenario. And the city, Portland has a foundation for their park. And I see in our materials that we're trying to revitalize our park foundation.
It's done.
They have ivy poles. Excellent. Okay. Because they have their foundation helps fund the ivy poles they have that are volunteer. And I think we should try and do this as like an ecotourism type thing as well, in addition to community volunteers, because they provide gloves and, you know, cutters for people to come. Maybe we do that, maybe we don't, but we'd need some funding if we want to do that. And that's what made me bring up the foundation. And try and do this on a volunteer basis. I realize that there are sections of the park that are so steep that we might end up having to pay for some of that. But see if we can start with some volunteer stuff first and how much of it we can handle by ourselves just doing that with events. And my thinking is that we should try and go for maybe 4th of July and Labor Day. The way they do solve, you know, they, you know, encourage people to come. And then also, I mean, I've listened to you guys talk over and over again about, you know, the Thanksgiving dinner and all of the people that were coordinated and asked to come and volunteer. I mean, we have a pretty strong network here of volunteer organizations that we could ask to, you know, announce to and ask to participate. What do you guys think of that?
I think it would be great. I think, to be clear, the foundation is a repository for money. They don't really have a lot, like, sitting around to give out in grants right now. So the thing to do, Nyla, would be, I think you should coordinate with Anita Albrecht and see if you can get something going. And it might not take that much money. I mean, there might be resources enough to do things like give people gloves or put up some, you know, just do some, a little bit of publicity. It might not cost that much money. Might be able to be done on the cheap. And it might be able to be done. I mean, Anita organized a volunteer cleanup day in Frank Wade Park, like what, a year and a half ago, I guess. And that was just like, there was not special funding associated with that. That was just something that she and other staff put together. I helped somewhat. It could be in that vein, and I think that would be awesome.
You know,
because we know it's 92 acres, but it's not that big because there's a road that goes through it and there's flat sections and,
you
know.
In Forest Park, yeah.
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 So I don't know exactly how much area we're talking about, but it's not that big.
Yeah, you wouldn't do the whole 92 acres for sure, but yeah, that would be.
That's right.
Start.
Yeah.
Our friends organization is just made up of three people right now.
Okay.
And they would, you know, I think they would be that potential funding source if we get them information so they could look for grants potentially and then, you know, work with staff, work with the committee to accomplish writing a grant. So I think, you know, Anita would probably be able to develop a price range of what might be needed and then, or we might already have enough inventory on our end. And then we can engage with Peggy and the Friends organization to look for grant funding to get this going. So I think
I'd like to see it happen this year if we could, because this stuff like kudzu, I mean, you know, it's killing trees.
Yes. So, I mean, as you are the lead on our goal that has to do with urban forestry and these kinds of projects, I would leave it to you to set up a meeting maybe with Anita. She might be the that might be the first stop.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, and if you need me to participate, I'm happy to do that. And I'm sure Mike too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And Nyla,
that'd
said,
be great.
You were saying July 4th or like Labor Day? Is that what you said?
Maybe two.
Yeah, well, maybe time. Both, you know.
Right, maybe both.
I thought about Memorial Day, but a lot of times it's raining, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you guys think. I'm just looking for input here.
I think that those are good targets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's get rid of that ivy.
Yeah.
Great.
Off the trees, anyway.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it kill our trees.
Yeah.
So we're past time. So our next meeting would be April 5th, Wednesday, April 5th, same time, same place. And then in terms of an agenda, I think we're going to have a couple of these projects are going to need updates next time. We're kind of a month behind on the calendar that I've put together because of last month's lack of a quorum. So I should probably talk over with Mike what we should do next time. I think we should probably have a report and meet and greet with the 60 plus, so with Sonia from the 60 plus center. And I'm looking at the stuff that we missed. One of the things that we should do sooner rather than later, and probably next month is a good time to think about this, is, you know, we've been talking about brainstorming other groups that we should be coordinating with or inviting in, as we have done with the Bike and Ped Committee a number of times in the past. So we're definitely still going to be meeting with them, but should we be meeting and talking over items of mutual interest with other groups? And so we have been saying for a long time we wanted to brainstorm that list. That doesn't mean bringing them in next month, but maybe we'll just have a session to talk about who should those groups be, and what should we, you know, what would our agenda be if we were to talk to some of those groups? So like the Newts group that does the trails out at Big Creek, or maybe the school district, or maybe the soccer association, or maybe, you know, some of the other sports groups, etc. So those are a couple of ideas. And then if there are any other priority things that pop up, you all can let me know, or Mike and I will talk about it too. So unless anyone has anything else, I will call us adjourned at 7:07 p.m. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.